We finish out our series verse by verse through the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 4. You'll find that on page 1724 in the Pew Bible. We read together Philippians 4, verses 14 through 23. Lord willing, as we press pause in our study of the Heidelberg Catechism several months ago, we want to push play and pick up where we left off on Sunday evenings now, next week, Lord willing, and Lord's Day 31 of the Heidelberg Catechism, the keys of the kingdom. But we turn into the book of Philippians, learning the joy of Jesus, and I hope it's been a blessing to you as it has been to me, as we finish out our series of messages on Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, beginning at verse 14. If you're able, would you please stand with me for the reading of the Word of God, and let's receive it with believing hearts. This is the infallible Word of God, yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. You may be seated. So far, the reading of the Word of God, and there's an outline of the message for you in the bulletin to study along with me and take some notes if that's helpful for you as we study the theme here of joy in generosity. Dear congregation of Christ, brothers, sisters in the Lord, and friends of our church family, Sam and Sheena were believers. They were Christians, and these believers, they loved the Lord, but they had a family of three, and they were trying to make ends meet, and they were in this very small home, and they didn't have much of a car, and they started looking around and saw, you know, the other people in church. They had nice big homes, and they had wonderful, beautiful, right, great big cars they were driving, and Sam thought, well, I just got to make some more money here. I met these people in a book I read, okay? So the story goes, like, Sam said, I got to make more money. So he worked harder, and there was a payoff. He made some more money, got more promotions, and so they could move into a bigger home together, and then they could afford bigger and better cars. And the only problem was is that there was a price to pay, and the price to pay was the fact that Sam was hardly ever home. And because Sam was hardly ever home, his wife felt as if she didn't really have a husband anymore. In fact, they had vacation scheduled, and the family went on vacation, and what happened was that Sam had to join them and only could spend a couple of days because he had to get back to work. And ultimately, eventually, Sam's wife left him along with the kids, and he finally realized that trying to find happiness in money and what it could buy left him and his family unhappy, unhappy. My brothers and sisters, money, it can bring happiness in your life in one sense, but it also can be something that makes us miserable if we let it. How can by God's grace and through his Spirit, how can we move from just getting money to actually giving money away and experiencing true joy in our lives. The Apostle Paul shows us how to as he closes out his message to the Philippians, as he says there's joy in generosity. I want you to rejoice in generous gospel partnerships. Rejoice in generous gospel partnerships. How do you experience joy? The joy of Jesus Christ. Join Jesus in his agenda, and you will experience supernatural happiness. And how does that work? What does that look like? We have to look at our money God's way. Look at it as fellowship. And then secondly, look at money as fruitfulness in your life and mine. And then you got to look at your money that God gives you and me in such a way, as we see there in the outline, as the fact that God is going to fill us when we think we're going to be lacking. God is going to fill you and me when we start believing the temptation that somehow I'm going to be missing out if I give sacrificially and generously to the agenda of our Lord Jesus Christ. Join Jesus, first of all, in fellowship. It was kind of you. Remember, the Apostle Paul is saying, look, I'm sharing with you the secret of happiness, the secret of being satisfied with any situation, happy with what I have. If I only have a little or whether I have a lot, I'm under house arrest for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I'm content. And he shares a secret. It's got to be a Christ-based contentment. And he says, whether I'm abounding or whether I have only a little, I'm content, but I'm also thankful that you remembered me and sent me this gift through God's servants here. And you were the only church to remember me by sending me a financial gift. And the key there, no church entered into partnership. And the word there is koinonia. It means certainly partnership, but it has this idea of fellowship, this idea of fellowship. When I think of fellowship, what do I think of? Do you think this way? I think coffee and cookie after church. That's not what the Apostle Paul is thinking of when it comes to koinonia or Christian fellowship. He's thinking of the family of God that we fund for the mission of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's saying, look, Philippians, you are on the mission field that I'm in right now as you are giving for to me in the missionary cause of the gospel. Paul is under house arrest. He's suffering distress. And he's saying to the Philippians, you are actually experiencing, you are fellowshipping with me in my distress. And part of the distress, there's joy. Remember, Paul says, even though I'm behind bars, the Roman centurions who are guarding me are becoming believers. The gospel of the kingdom is going forward. But there's also distress that I'm experiencing. And why is Paul stressed out? It's really for spiritual reasons. He wants to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to Spain, but he's still under house arrest. And so Paul is saying, look, you got to be thinking of your money in terms of fellowship. How do I think of my money? How do you think of your money? We think of it this way. This is how sin skews our view of money. Money is mine for me. And God is saying, no, it's ours. It's for the fellowship of the family of God. So when the missionary is out on the missionary field, on the mission field, whether that's domestic or foreign, through your prayers, you are there. And also through your funding of that work, through the collections that are taken here and sent out to the mission field, you're actually there as well. Think of your money not as so much as mine for me, but from God for the fellowship of the family of God, to make more disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're on the mission field when you are supporting missionaries, and you become the physical representatives. You are actually becoming the physical representatives of God's great generosity. The Apostle Paul is reminding them, you only help me out financially. Even in Thessalonica, verse 16, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Remember, Paul is saying, you know what, look, I'm well supplied. I could really take it or leave it. My needs have been met. Jesus Christ is my all in all. So whether you sent me the gift or not, I'm still content. But I'm thankful for your thoughtfulness of me on the mission field. So the Philippians were becoming physical representatives of God's generosity in the Apostle Paul's life. So brothers and sisters, as you give, as you donate money for benevolence, for instance, perhaps it's a wife who lost her husband and has 3 children to feed, and as you donate to the benevolent cause of our Lord Jesus Christ, the word and deed ministry for that family, you are the physical representative. You are the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ ministering his mercy to them. As you give to the collections for Reverend Green in Costa Rica and Reverend Sam Perez in Jersey City, New Jersey, and other kingdom causes, as you're writing out the check, you are on the mission field. You are missionaries. I want to be there, right? You want to be there, but you can't, and you're not, but in one very real sense, you are there fellowshipping with them to lift high the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Apostle Paul is motivating us. I need this, don't you? He's incentivizing this. He's giving us all of these gospel motivations and incentives because we can kind of begrudgingly give, can't we? Or we want to, hedge our bets, so to speak. We want to hold on to what God has given us, perhaps out of fear. We're not going to have enough later on in life. The Apostle Paul is motivating us. He's encouraging us. Think of your money that God entrusts to you as a fellowship. It's kind of like Monopoly. The one card I hate drawing, right, is the community chest. What do they need that money for? I need the money more. I want to get the hotels, right? And I want to win Monopoly. I want to monopolize this game and win. What does the community need it for? God is saying, you are giving to the community of Christianity. Think of money as fellowship, and also think of it as fruit. It's fruitfulness. Paul says in verse 17, not that I seek the gift, but I'm actually seeking the fruit that increases to your credit. Generosity is rewarding, and this is the motivation Paul is giving us. You're actually investing in your joy and happiness. So money is for fellowship and money is for fruit. Generosity is rewarding. And Paul is saying that really, you know, I'm encouraged by this gift, Philippians, that you've sent to me. I'm appreciative of it. But I want you to know what it means for you and what it means to God. It means so much to me that you thought of me. But I want you to realize what this actually means for you. It's to bear the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Do you think of your giving that way? To the church and the kingdom, to the mission of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that God promises to reward you as you give to him, as you purpose in your heart to generously and sacrificially fund and finance the expansion of the family of God among the nations, that God promises to flood your heart and your life and mine with grace on top of grace that will bring joy inexpressible and full of glory. So less is more. Are you going to believe that promise tonight? That less will be more. Less money is more joy for you and for me. I know I've said it many times. I love this quote from Martin Luther, the German reformer. Martin Luther said, "Everything I've kept for myself, I've lost. But everything I gave to God, I kept. I kept, and that Bingo, he nailed it. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Generous giving to the cause of the kingdom is rewarding. Don't you want to be rewarded with more and more grace? The more you give, the more you will actually have true happiness. And because God takes pleasure in our generosity, that's another incentive. That's another great gospel motivator for us. I've received full payment and more. I'm well supplied, having received these gifts from Epaphroditus, verse 18, that you sent a fragrant offering, a sacrifice, there it is, acceptable and pleasing to God, that God our Father takes great pleasure in your generosity and mine, and our open hearts and open-handed giving for the advance of the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus Christ says, my Father takes pleasure and joy, and that's what brings happiness and joy in your life as you give. And you realize that, you know, God is supplying our needs. You see what's happening here. It just struck me that, you know, as God gives gifts and as we give those gifts back to him, why is he taking pleasure in them? It's because they're his gifts he sent to you and to me in the very first place. And those gifts are coming back to him, the giver. And that's why he's taking great pleasure in them. He takes pleasure in them because Jesus Christ has come into this world. And he purposed in his heart to empty himself of all the treasures of heaven to meet your greatest need of all. What is your greatest need? What is my greatest need? It is not for more money. It's to be bought out of, to be bought back from sin. And all of the misery it brings, including everlasting death. Jesus says, you're my pleasure. You're my treasure, and I bought you with my blood, and I want you to experience now the joy of the Father smiling as you give generously for his kingdom to be funded. It's just like, you know, when our toddlers bring us a present or a Christmas gift, or they draw a picture, and they give it to you, and it's not a Michelangelo masterpiece, is it? It's you, as a stick person, right? And you take joy in it. You're smiling. It's great. It's wonderful. Why? You love it because you love your child. Or you love your grandchild. And that's what God is saying. I take joy in your generous giving because I love you. Is that opening up your wallet tonight? I hope it is. Mine too. Is that emptying out, turning inside out your pockets and mine? I mean, that's one of the last things that gets sanctified in your life and mine, isn't it? It's your wallet. Mine too. Your bank account and mine as well. And Jesus Christ is saying, I still remember this saying as I went doing EE, door-to-door evangelism, when I was still at Reformed Bible College in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We went out, and I went out with an elder of a church down downtown Grand Rapids, Michigan. And we're just kind of going around the town and knocking on doors and telling people about Jesus Christ. And I was doing more listening than really evangelizing. But the elder said this to a guy who said, you know what, the church just wants my money. He says, that's not true. Jesus just wants my money, he said. That's not true. Jesus wants you. That's who he wants. Because when he gets you, he's got your money. And mine too. Does he have you? Does he have your heart? Have you given him your heart? He says, you're my treasure, and it brings pleasure to me. It's fruitful in your life. Do you want to experience the joy of being more like Jesus? Then give. Give generously. Give sacrificially. And your needs will be filled. Your needs will be filled. And my God, Paul says, will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. God is the one who always outgives you and me. He's always outgiving us. No matter how much we are giving, God is always outgiving us, isn't he? And this is very encouraging for us, dear friends, as we're tempted to be afraid and giving too much and funding and just, you know, letting the purse strings all out there and loose, giving to the cause of Christ's kingdom. And God says, I got you. I'll meet not just some, not just most, all of your needs, both for body and soul. You cannot outgive me. I will meet them. And because who am I? I'm your God, the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. And I'm not just your God, I am your Father who is in heaven. Sam and his wife needed a new money identity. And here's your new money identity. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about that you are a child of the Heavenly Father. You're not an orphan. God hasn't left you to fend for yourself. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. And God will well supply your needs. He did for the Apostle Paul, and he will for you. Take him at his word, because money is meant for glory. And the question for you and for me tonight is, whose glory? Money is meant to glorify God, to make much of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when it's making much for Jesus Christ in his name, to be famous among our neighbors and the nations out there, then, dear friends, what happens is that we will experience true joy. But if it's for our own glory and for my own name, or for yours, or for our own kingdoms, it brings misery. Money's a tool. It makes a lousy God, but it's a great tool to glorify Jesus Christ, our great God and Father, forever and ever. And there is amazing grace for our money struggles. There's amazing grace here. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. And the Apostle Paul is saying, hey greet the saints who greet you are from Caesar's household. And you see how the gospel of the kingdom was funded by the Philippians to impact even Caesar's household itself. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. I need a lot of grace when it comes to giving. Can you relate to this? Again, I think of money as mine for me. I think of, I'm stingy. I'm as tight as bark on a tree. I think of what can this buy me and how is this going to make me happy? Can you relate to that? I have money messes too. Do you have money messes in your life? Are you in debt? Do you have a lot of credit card debt because you're trying to glorify your own self? This one pinches me before it pinched you. My brothers and sisters, am I getting money from God or you? For people to pay attention to me with what I'm wearing, what I'm driving, where I'm living, what I have. There's amazing grace for your money messes and mine. So how do we live in light of that grace? A few applications. Wear a new set of glasses. We really do need a new set of glasses. That God the Father is saying, hey, I want to take all the burden off of your shoulders and put that burden, that responsibility on my shoulders. Put it on me. I will. Take me at my word. I will supply every single need that you will ever have when you give sacrificially and generously to the cause of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What are the glasses that I'm usually wearing? I'm wearing the wrong glasses that, you know, after all of the demands money is making and what I want and have and what I think I need and hoarding and holding on to, when all of that is taken care of, then Jesus gets the leftovers. God the Father says to me and to you, take those glasses off, put on these new set of glasses, and give your first fruits. I want to challenge you. Give 10% of what you made, what you're making. 10%. And then go up from there as the Lord blesses. And my dear friends, I promise you will experience the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. And wear the new set of glasses by the amazing grace of God to them. Paul is writing all of these greetings, and it dawns on me that I need to do this more. Would you please write cards of encouragement to Reverend Green in Costa Rica? Or maybe it's an email or a text message. Go ahead and encourage him, greet him. Tell him, well done, keep up the good work. And Reverend Sam Perez in Jersey City, and read the newsletters, be praying for them, partnering together with them, that brings fresh wind in the sails for missionaries as they are funded. And as we hear, did you read the newsletter? Costa Rica News, Ebenezer. To this point, God has helped us. Reverend Green is saying, they haven't been meeting in person for church in 6 months, and they have people joining the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. All glory be to God through your grace-filled giving. Greet them in the Lord. Wear a new set of glasses, and then surrender your money to the Father's glory. Surrender your money to the Father's glory, and that's our new money identity, that we are children of the Heavenly Father, and it's for His glory. We want everyone to be paying attention to Jesus Christ and seeing Him as famous and lifting Him up and not drawing attention needlessly to ourselves with more and more luxuries. Are you in your life, are we just containers for money, or are we going to be conduits, pipelines that Jesus and the Father pour their blessings into our lives so that they flow out and fund the greater glory of Jesus Christ our Lord? And then ask Jesus to clean up your money messes and mine. I don't know where that line is. It's a tough one. It's a challenging question. You know, how much do I keep? How much do I give? Feel free to share with me after church what that looks like in your life. Let's learn together. Our money is for fellowship. Our money is for fruit that God gives us. And our money is given to God with the confidence that He will fill us with whatever we lack, according to His riches in glory. So, my brothers and sisters, would you please ask yourself the question, when it comes to big purchases, you're spending a lot of money on something, would you ask the question prayerfully, carefully, under the leading of the Holy Spirit, in light of the Word of God, what's my heart desire in this? Dear friends, we need cars, right? I'm not talking about it. It's good to take care of our families and our friends and it's homes and cars and all of this, the good things that God blesses us with. Let us enjoy them. Enjoy them as gifts from God the Father. But let's be asking those questions about our spending habits. Is sin skewing my view of why God has given me and you this money? And let us be motivated, dear friends. Do you realize that it's going to be for all eternity when we are experiencing in full joy only a partial matter of joy that we are experiencing right now when we all get to glory and begin sensing and seeing how there have been all these kinds of nuclear reactions of God's love and grace explosions of how God used your offering, then and there, and combined it with another collection and this donation through the family and the fellowship of God for a people from all tribes, tongues, and nations to say with you and me, to God our Father, be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have sent your Son into this world, that, Lord Jesus, you gave up the greatest treasures of heaven to meet our greatest need. Lord, we don't need more money. We need you. We need more of you. We need more of the joy of the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord Jesus, that your grace may sink deeper and deeper into our hearts as we see you, the great God of heaven and earth. Though rich in glory, becoming poor, so that through your poverty on the cross, paying the penalty for our sins, we may be enriched with the wealth of your love. Lord Jesus, may your grace sink more and more deeper and deeper down into my heart and the hearts of your people to open our hands and our hearts to give, to tithe, to sacrificially support and fund the work of your kingdom and your church. Thank you for these motivations and incentives, Lord. And Lord, forgive us for thinking of money as about me and what's mine and what I can get. And Lord, please give us the wisdom of the scriptures to realize that you give so that we may give it away and gain joy as a result. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd flood our lives with grace as we seek to be generous stewards of all you have entrusted to us. We pray that you would help us to wear that new set of glasses, that yours comes first. And Lord, convince us, we need persuading, that you will supply all we lack. You will meet every need of ours, both for body and soul. You've done in the past. Please continue to do so. And thank you, Lord, for your generous people here at Hudson Valley United Reformed Church. Lord, we're amazed at the generous support of your people, how they have always met and exceeded the budgets for the last for 16 years and running. Lord, you have done this. To you alone be the glory. We pray that in our mission and with our money, we may be on the grace, a generous agenda of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we would join you, Lord Jesus, in the joy of sacrificial giving so that others may not pay attention to us, but pay attention to you. And by our words and deeds, bring glory to our Father in heaven. Lord, give us a new money identity that we are children of the Heavenly Father, and how we look forward to the joy of seeing how many lives in glory you have used the money that we gave back to you to make Christians. So hear and answer our prayers. Bless us as we give our gifts to you on the way out of church tonight. Help us to realize that you take note, that you never overlook what we do for the fellowship of the family of God. Hear us, we pray, and answer us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing together as our song of dedication. We give thee but thine own. It's number 816 in the